as useful as the American Civil Liberties Union is as a rhetorical punching bag for many conservatives, for almost a century, the organization's work has been absolutely invaluable in challenging some of the most blatant and dangerous attacks on the freedoms to which each of us is entitled. Often taking deeply unpopular but always principled stands, the ACLU also serves to highlight representative cases that ought to make each of us think deeply about what it means to have our rights defined by laws based on the Constitution and not on locally determined majority whims. This week, you may have heard of the case of a pregnant woman in Michigan whose medical care and access to information were determined not by science, but by the religious affiliation of the hospital in which this woman found herself. The only hospital, I might add, in the area. Well, the ACLU has taken on the case of Tamisha Means, and here to talk about that is Brooke Tucker, who is staff attorney at the ACLU of Michigan. Brooke, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much.
Would you just begin by describing the Michigan case for the listeners?
What happened here is that Tamisha Means, our client, when she was 18 weeks pregnant, her water broke. She had three children, and she knew to get to the hospital right away when this happened. So she called a friend for a ride and immediately went to the only hospital in her county, Mercy Health Partners. When she went, the hospital diagnosed her with preterm premature rupture of membranes. Normally, when a person's diagnosed with that condition, they are told about their available options and that induction of labor immediately is the safest course of treatment. However, that did not happen in this case. The hospital told her there was nothing it could do and sent her home. She came back the next day in immense pain and bleeding, asking for help. And again, the hospital said there was nothing it could do and sent her home. She came back later that evening with a fever, signs of infection, again begging for help. The hospital staff again told her there was nothing they could do and prepared to send her home. At that time, she began to deliver. And only then did the hospital finally start tending to her miscarriage.
Mm. It is a heart-wrenching story, but I know that the ACLU doesn't do just heart-wrenching stories and take them as cases. What made the ACLU say they would take this case?
Well, one, we've noticed that this is happening all across the country because of the ethical and religious directives for Catholic health care services. And these are mandatory hospital policies promulgated by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops that dictate what can and cannot be provided at Catholic healthcare facilities, regardless of what a patient's physician deems medically best. And in this situation, a public health educator informed us that there were at least five instances of this happening at this particular hospital, and we didn't want there to be one more instance of this happening where, you know, fortunately, Ms. Means survived. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in these cases, sometimes the condition is life-threatening, and we didn't want it to get to a point where someone actually died.
Why did the hospital not want to do that right up front? Because of they knew what would happen to the fetus, or what's the answer to that question? What did they want from her?
The directives, in particular, there's one directive that says pregnancy termination or abortion is never permitted so long as the fetus has a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the fetus still had a heartbeat, although it was not viable, and there was virtually no chance that the fetus would survive, given that her water broke at 18 weeks. Nonetheless, the directives state that you're not allowed to terminate the pregnancy. So the hospital's hands were tied in this case. And not only did they fail to provide her with this care, they also could not inform her that she needed this care.
So they really under their directive, had no responsibility to take care of the woman, just a directive related to the fetus.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Explain, please, why the lawsuit doesn't name the hospital but names the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops as the defendants.
You know, what happened in this case is not an isolated instance of something happening at one hospital to one patient. This is something that's happening all across the country, and it's a direct result of the policies issued by these non-medical professionals, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Mm-hmm.
And so because it is their policy that caused this unnecessary trauma to happen to Ms. Means, that is why they are the defendant in this case.
Brooke, you've mentioned there were several cases that you all had heard of like this, but how widespread is the problem of religiously driven limits to treatment and even to information in our healthcare system?
This is a nationwide problem. We know of situations in Phoenix, Colorado, Michigan, all over where this is happening, and doctors feel as though their hands are tied and they are not able to provide the best care to their patients because of these ethical and religious directives.
Is any of this due to a shrinking number of hospitals? Does that make this problem worse?
This makes the problem exponentially worse. Ms. Meads went to this hospital in part because it's the only hospital in the county. Just a few years ago, there were two hospital options. One was secular and one was Catholic operated. Had there still been two options, it's possible she would have had another choice and she would never have had to go through this experience. But now, because those hospitals merged and are now under a singular Catholic operated healthcare system, there was only one option available. And that option was one where doctors were not able to provide her with all of the information and treatment options that she probably would have received at a secular facility.
Mm-hmm. Brooke, I know the ACLU is staffed by extremely smart people with a lot of experience. So you're bound to have looked at legal precedents on this case, and I wonder what legal precedents you have found that give you hope in taking on this case.
Well, as you may know, we sued under a state law negligence theory. And what negligence says, regardless of whether it's a case involving medical care or other types of injuries, is that a person is liable for the foreseeable consequences of their actions. And in this case, you have ethical and religious directives that explicitly state they must be followed by all Catholic healthcare services.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, when you have non-medical professionals dictating policies for all institutions saying that they must be followed, it is foreseeable that hospitals will in fact follow them. And when they do, you are liable for any harm that results from that practice.
Hmm. So, in making the decision, you also saw that it made more sense, was more reasonable to sue the Catholic bishops than to sue the hospital that was being obedient to the Catholic bishops.
Exactly. You know, it's a decision. Do you sue the person that makes the policy or the person that implements the policy? And in this case, when you have something that affects so many people on a nationwide scale, it makes sense to go after the root of the problem, which is these directives that force religious beliefs onto medical professionals and end up resulting in patients not being provided with necessary information and care.
Yeah. Is there precedent in anticipating the outcome? Does this get into that realm of faith versus science? How is that going to be a part of what you have to deal with?
I don't think so.
Okay.
As you know, the ACLU has long been a defender of religious freedom and religious liberty, and
right.
We fully support the right of the bishops and anyone else to express their religious beliefs on health care and other issues. We are not going after that in this mm-hmm. case. The problem is when your religious beliefs prevent medical professionals from providing necessary care. That's all that's at issue in this case. Medical yeah. professionals and patients should be determining the type of care the patient receives, not the Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Brooke, what would be a successful outcome?
In our mind, vindication for Ms. Means, as well as a declaration that these directives are negligent, and with the hope that they will no longer be forced upon medical professionals around the country. That would be the best outcome in this case. If we could go back to medical professionals doing what they believe is in the patient's best interest, hospitals would think long and hard before they started imposing these policies on the treating providers, because they would now be subject to a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And it is my sincere hope that the bishops will think long and hard as well about whether they want to continue to prevent patients around this country from getting the care that they receive.
Brooke is with the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan. The organization is suing the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops over a Michigan woman's medical care in a Catholic hospital, contending that decisions were based not on her condition, but the ideology of the church as expressed through the Catholic bishops. Thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. I look forward to hearing from you again.